Well, hello everyone, Jesse here, and welcome to season two of The Song of the Mountain, a podcast where we talk about the deep and profound ways that stories impact us and how we can bring some of the wonder and magic of those stories into our lives. In this first episode, I'm going to talk about four things that your life needs to become a story. So, stay tuned. All right, well, good to hear. Well, I guess I can't hear any of you or see any of you. How sad. This is the first episode of season two. I've taken quite a bit of a break, honestly, because I just didn't feel the compulsion or the inspiration to post an episode or to say something. And that's been really important to me to not just post an episode because it's been a week. I want to post episodes as I feel like I have something to say. And I think I do. Right now in my life, I recently bought a home. Oh my goodness. Yes, the Livingstons, our journey across the country in our travel trailer has come to an end. We just bought a home. It is lovely. We are loving the space. I feel like I can breathe again. It's been really lovely. And I've been working as a experience strategist at a design firm called Valeer, and that's been really great, and doing a handful of things on the side. So, okay, there's the life update. Let's talk about four things your life needs to become a story. And I think we'll probably have some subsequent episodes that will dive deeper into each one of these things. Okay, so when you look at an archetypal story, it always has consistent things, consistent kind of markers that make it a story. And that's why I say you need certain things for your life to become a story, right? That sentence might actually seem kind of strange to you because you might go, wait a second, but isn't every life a story? Like, well, I don't understand. Here's why I say that. The reason it might not be a story is because if your life is just going in circles, like mine was, it's not a story yet. And you're going to see why, because it's lacking in the core things that make a story a story. Okay, so no, not everybody's life is a story. Not every season of your life is a story in the sense that I'm talking about it. I'm talking about story with a capital S. So let's talk about them. Here's what they are. I'll list them out for you, and then we'll go in a little bit of depth into each. Number one is you got to get out of act one. You got to get out of the beginning cyclical part of the act one of every story. Number two, you need to discover your special abilities, your unique creative genius. Number three, you need to go on a quest. You need those abilities to enable you to accomplish a quest of meaning to you. And then the fourth thing you need is your perspective on the whole thing. You need the voice of the narrator. All right, so let's talk about what each of those mean. First, you got to get out of act one. Okay, so let's break down a story, if you don't already know, in some more detail. At the beginning of the archetypal story, we start off meeting the protagonist in their normal life. Okay, the beginning of act one is just the normal setting for the protagonist. Their lives aren't really going anywhere. They aren't coming into their own. They're not really always doing something of meaning. Now, there's many ways, many settings that we find a protagonist in. But, you know, like for instance, a Harry Potter, he's living his life with the Dursleys. It's kind of crappy. He doesn't like it. It's not going anywhere. He's not really himself. It's just sort of going on. In The Lord of the Rings, which I guess those are my two favorite examples, Frodo Baggins or Bilbo Baggins actually have pretty good lives, right? They're actually living lives that they enjoy, but they also aren't going anywhere per se. They don't have like a purpose or a direction to them. Then something happens, okay? Something kicks them out of that life of normalcy, that cyclical life, into change and transformation. That event is called the inciting event. So the inciting event is just that. It's the thing that kicks them into the story. So you could argue, I would argue, the story hasn't started until the inciting event. So the story technically starts at the beginning of the film or novel, but it doesn't really start until the inciting event happens. Because the inciting event is really what propels the protagonist into the story. So to give a few examples, in The Hobbit, it's Gandalf banging at the door, disturbing Bilbo from his nice, quiet life. For Harry Potter, it's getting the invitation to go to Hogwarts. Now, what's interesting to contrast those two inciting events is in one of them, in The Hobbit, the inciting event is not really welcome at all by Bilbo. He does not want anything to change about his life, right? He did not want Gandalf to come banging on his door. He did not want the dwarves to show up and wreck his house and eat all his food. He wanted to sit at home, drink his tea, and keep eating his cakes. And that's what he wanted, okay? Harry Potter, by contrast, desperately wanted something to change. He did not like his life. He was not happy where he was. He welcomed this change into some kind of a magical school that whisks him off to the life he always dreamed. So the inciting events of our lives might be welcome and they might be very unwelcome. I find that very often they are unwelcome. They are not the kinds of things that we want to happen in our lives. So for me, it was two things. A couple of years ago, it was leaving Netflix. I mentioned that like that didn't work. I did not like the job. I was not jiving with the manager. We decided that was not a good fit, and I had no other jobs lined up. Okay, so that was deeply destabilizing for me, because I had depended on that for so much of my life. Like I had depended on those skills as a user researcher for my livelihood to kind of have that stable, you know, thing. I used skills that I might call, which we're going to talk about more, maybe if we do a subsequent episode on creative genius, those are abilities in my excellence, things I was good at, but didn't love doing. Okay. So that's the first thing you need is you got to get out of the act one of your life. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the big things is just recognizing when an inciting event comes your way. See, most of the time we don't recognize them. Like things happen to destabilize us all the time. But we don't recognize them as inciting events. We see them as annoyances. I do, right? When my kids do something to mess up my nice little ordered home, or, you know, my daughter wants to like take apart my little dice tower here. I have like a D&D like dice tower. It's very nice and I like keeping it just the way it is. She loves taking it apart. That's a tiny, tiny event that I could either see as an annoyance or a small inciting event. Here's what I mean. An inciting event, like I said, destabilizes us. It's anything that sort of shakes up the normal way of things. And if we see it through this lens, through this story lens, you start asking the question, I wonder what this little event is calling me into. I wonder what kind of a change this little event is inviting me into. That is a story question. That is a question that is now bridging that world of story with your real life. Okay? So when those things happen, whether it's leaving your hometown and traveling the country in an RV like us, because I didn't talk about that. That was the other thing that happened was like, oh, San Francisco is not our home. Like as all the medical lockdowns started happening, as everything started changing during COVID, a lot of other things were going on, also cost of living. We were like, this is not our home. This is not going to work long term. And it was sad, right? We loved San Francisco. There's a lot of things we loved about it, but it was very clear that our time was limited there. That was also very destabilizing, but it propelled us into a story, a crazy one where we went across the country, like I said, in this travel trailer. So ask yourself at those moments that destabilize you, what kind of a story is this event welcoming me into or inviting me into. That doesn't mean we don't feel the pain or the sting of those events. That might be the thing it's inviting you into, right? Maybe that's what the event is inviting you into, is to feel that sting more deeply instead of just brushing it aside and being like, let's just see the positive. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you bypass your emotions. Do not bypass the sting of those events. You have to really feel where you're at. But it's asking yourself, what is this inviting me into? Okay, that's the first thing. Getting out of act one. Number two is discovering your special abilities or your creative genius. So think about how Frodo Baggins and Harry Potter continue. What happens? Harry Potter finds out he has magic abilities. Holy moly, wait, I can do magic? Shit, I didn't know that. Wow, cool. He has these abilities that were inside of him the whole time that he didn't understand. They actually started coming out even pre-inciting event. You remember he's in the museum speaking parcel tongue to the snake. Right? So even in your, what's amazing about this is even in your pre-act one or pre-inciting event life, these abilities, they can't help but emerge. They're like some kind of a bubbling fountain inside of you that can't help but come out at some point. We often push them back. We often don't like them because they're very unpredictable. They scare us sometimes. So we push them back. But even in your pre-act one days, these will come out. Frodo Baggins, it's actually a lot more simple and maybe more mundane. These abilities he has are just ones of simple dedication and perseverance. Right? I think his courage, and that was Tolkien's really, I think was his goal, is it wasn't like the heroic fighter or the stout dwarf or the dexterous elf or the magic wielding wizard that was the true hero of the story. It was the simple hobbit with courage. That ability had no place in Hobbiton. I'm going back and forth between the Hobbit and Frodo and the Lord of the Rings. They're kind of, you know, pretty similar. Same happened with Bilbo, right? It was courage. But those abilities don't come out in their fullest until you get out of Act One. The reason why this is so crucial, in part, is because these abilities are inherently connected to who you are. Everybody has these. Everybody has some kind of creative genius inside of them that comes out in certain ways. It comes out as a child a lot. It comes out when you're doing things that you love. And this one, we're going to have to go in more depth because I would love to walk you through some thoughts and some exercises to think through what your creative genius is. That's also something I do in workshops and in one-on-one coaching, but more in workshop setting with businesses is helping you discover this for your team. So if you're interested in that, you can find me on LinkedIn. I've got some links to the workshop. But regardless, it's so crucial for you to discover these because these abilities are where you really light up. These are where you feel yourself vibrating. You know that you are in this creative genius place when time starts to disappear, when you do work that really just doesn't feel like work. Like you do it and you're like, that felt like no work at all. But you see this enormous output, this creative output that you didn't notice before. So really it just starts, really by wondering. And you start by wondering about the things you love to do. So just start asking yourself that. I wonder what I love to do best. If you want to go deep dive in this area, I would highly recommend the work of Gay and Katie Hendricks. Gay Hendricks wrote a handful of books, one of which is The Genius Zone, which he talks a lot about this idea. Highly recommend it. Very, very good. A lot of the things that I say about genius, about creative genius, were inspired by him. But you want to start thinking about that. Because these abilities, like without them, you start to shove them away into your shadow, right? So little pop quiz or information on Carl Jung, he believed very strongly in this idea of the shadow. The shadow is anything that we disown, The shadow is any part of us we say, this is not me, or this is not a part of me I'm willing to accept or bring out into the open. This could be things we're ashamed of, like things that are not good, like something we consider a vice. But it can also be things like our joy, our creativity, our genius. Like that can be part of our shadow. So let me ask you this question. What happens when your genius, your creative genius, becomes part of your shadow? Not good. Okay, right? That is a situation where some part of you that is essential to who you are gets disowned. And it doesn't go away, mind you, right? You don't make these things go away by just hiding them. They stay there and they come out in ways that are unhealthy. Right? So one of the things that I think happens is like our longing for adventure, for the mysterious, for the magical, when we don't get that in our real lives, it comes out through obsessions or addictions, right? Maybe this is a video game addiction. Maybe this is some kind of like television addiction. Maybe it could be any other addiction. But when we don't get the thing we really want in our real lives, it comes out in an addictive, self-destructive form. And one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this idea of bridging the imaginary world, the imaginary story world with our own, is if we don't do that, our hunger for the things we experience in stories, again, comes out in destructive ways. And so that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to help you connect those, to build a bridge between those two worlds so that you can experience that wonder and adventure here and now. And this is kind of the whole point of this episode and the whole point of the podcast in general, right? So that's the second thing you need to do, is you have to discover your special kind of magical abilities. The third thing, and part the other reason why you have to discover those, is you got to go on a quest. Those abilities enable you to fulfill some kind of a quest. And by that, I mean the thing you do with the abilities, the mission, the purpose that you do with those abilities, something that has meaning and purpose to you. Because it's entirely possible to discover those abilities and to be using them, but for a quest that you hate or that really doesn't mean anything to you. One example that Gay Hendricks gives is a scientist who longed to use his scientific abilities to do something meaningful, but instead his job was, as he put it, to make sugar and salt more addictive. That was an example of somebody within their creative genius, but putting that genius, putting those abilities to a quest that they didn't believe in. See, it's not enough to just know that, for example, you have this special ability to draw people's honesty out, or a special ability to imagine new and better ways to do things, or the special ability to inspire people to think about their lives differently. No, that's not enough. You have to then go, okay, well, what is my quest? What is the quest that those abilities are going to enable me to do? So for our story examples, for Frodo Baggins or Bilbo Baggins, their courage is what allowed them to go defeat Smaug and reclaim the dwarves' homeland or destroy the ring in Mount Doom. Those abilities allowed them to go on this quest of supreme meaning to them, a quest where they felt something was really at stake. That's one of the ways you know that you're on the right quest, or a quest that is meaningful to you, is when the stakes feel high. That's something all stories do to create a sense of meaning, is the stakes need to be high, right? If the quest is, how do I change like the comforter on my bed so I get a better night's sleep? The stakes aren't very high for that quest. Like, sure, do that. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not a quest of much meaning or much with very high stakes. Compare this to the pre-inciting event world. before the inciting event, there is no quest, right? There's just the gerbil wheel, the hamster wheel, going in circles. It's not going anywhere. For me, when I started realizing, to back up a little bit, I started realizing one of my special abilities is to see connections between things that people usually don't. I don't think I've ever really heard somebody asking the questions I'm asking of how do we connect the wonder and magic of stories into our real lives? Like, how do we kind of, in our Bifrost metaphor, how do we go up to Asgard, put some goodies in our pockets and travel back down to our world, Midgard, the material world, and see how those imaginary things look in this world? How do we have a transfer or a bridge between those worlds? I don't hear people asking that much. And so that's what I started realizing. Oh, that's unique to me, actually. No, it's not new. People in the field of like applied mythology, for example, people applying the stories and myths of old to our lives is people who are doing that. But I noticed that was a unique ability for me. So then I asked myself, what do I want to use that ability to do? Because what I had been doing is using that ability to create better websites for people, to create better digital experiences. It wasn't to create an experience that drew the magic from stories into people's lives. And that's why I created the Bifrost Academy, which is, I've it's going to change a million times what the Bifrost Academy is, but overall, it's my kind of brand or thing that I do to bridge the imaginary world with the real world. Right? Anything that bridges those worlds, whether it be in the form of like a middle school D&D program, which I'm actually doing in like a month, by the way, I'm finally doing this, or a business workshop or one-on-one coaching or whatever, or a podcast episode like right now, my quest is to bring the wonder and magic of the story world into people's real lives, okay? That is a quest that has supreme meaning and purpose to me, a quest that is high stakes to me, that is deeply important, that I feel is deeply critical for this age in which we are spending billions of dollars on stories because we are that desperate to experience wonder and imagination. Okay, so that's the third thing, is you have to go on a quest. So what you want to ask yourself is, what is the thing I want to put those abilities towards, right? What is something that I can do or something that I can put my special abilities towards that has meaning to me, that feels high stakes? There's a lot of things we can ask and exercises we can kind of dig into that we're not going to get into now. But think about that. What is that quest you want to put your abilities towards? Okay. So those three things are the core. Get out of Act One, discover your special abilities, go on a quest. The fourth one is very crucial. And it's not so much like a step that you take, but a perspective that you take. And that is, you need the voice of the narrator. So here's an example. If you've seen the film Stranger Than Fiction, there is a character played by Will Ferrell, Harold Crick. He is an IRS auditor. And at the beginning of the story, he, like everybody else at the beginning of the story, is in a cycle, is in the hamster wheel of Act One. And he is not doing anything meaningful. There's no quest. There's no abilities, nothing. But he wakes up one day, and as he's brushing his teeth, he hears the voice of a narrator in his head. He hears things like this when he's brushing his teeth. Harold began this Wednesday the same way he always did. When others' minds would fantasize about their upcoming day or cling to the last vestiges of their dreams, Harold just counted brush strokes. And he's totally confused, right? He's like, what? And the whole story in this movie is him listening to this narrator in his head, discovering that it's a real author somewhere who is somehow mysteriously communicating with him in his head, and his life becomes a story. Okay? Here's why this step is so crucial, why you need the voice of the narrator. It is possible For you to do all three of those things that I said, get out of Act One, discover your magic abilities, and go on a quest, but not even notice it's really happening. That in the humdrum of life, you just forget. You kind of just slink back into the mindset of the mundane, and you forget the magical. So here's what I mean. So start doing things like this. Here's what I started doing. Start writing down little mundane stories from your life as a narrator. So things like, as Jesse went in, walked, I'm riffing on this right now. As Jesse walked into his kitchen, the mountain of dishes stared back at him like some kind of dark monster threatening everything that he wanted this evening to be. As he stared down the dried spaghetti and morning egg yolk on the plates, which he knew would not come off without a battle, he steadied himself and walked steadfastly towards the dishes. As the warm water poured out like a magical liquid, imbuing his hands with the determination to conquer this mountain of dishes, he began to scrub with sponge in hand. Slowly but surely, the monster of egg yolk and dried spaghetti came undone and flowed down to the bottom of the nothingness from whence it came. Right? Shit like that. Like, I just did that off the top of my head. Okay? When I said that, I was like, whoa, dishes are epic, man. Like, I always pick dishes because dishes are like the most mundane thing that I do. I always go back to dishes for whatever reason. Because like dishes are the kind of thing that I'm like, this is truly cyclical. Like this is going nowhere. This is just really literally bringing me back to where I was at the start of the day. It's not like gardening or even gardening, like weeding. I feel a sense of progress. Like I pull all the weeds and like for a period of time, for a, like a long enough period of time, my garden looks better. Dishes, it's like they become dirty as soon as they're clean again. Which I'm very happy to now have actually a dishwasher. So this is what I'm talking about. So start writing little stories like this through your day, about your day, and highlight these details. And you can do like what I did, like add some kind of flair to them. I added some like, you know, metaphors there. This is the eye of the narrator. I had a good friend say once, stories help us to see. Stories help us to see. When you really tell a story and you tell it with the vividness of what actually happened, you breathe life into all of the rich details that are normally invisible. This is why stories are so powerful, why that narrative process is so powerful. Here's another fun thing you can do. Take that story, copy, and do two things. Well, I did this with ChatGPT. Paste it into ChatGPT and say, translate this story into a sci-fi story. And it comes up with the craziest, coolest shit. I did it with like a fantasy story. I was like, translate this into a fantasy story. And it started adding all these fun details. Or you can do it yourself. Right? Like go, okay, wait, how would I translate this story into something that is entirely fantastic or magical? So anyway, so that's the fourth thing you need. You need the eye of the narrator to show you what's happening all around you. So those are the four things you need. Get out of Act One, discover your special abilities, go on a quest, and unlock the voice of the narrator. So in this, like I said, in subsequent episodes, I want to deep dive into these four different areas because they're so rich and deep. We can go into a lot with all of these. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about what does it take to get out of Act One? What keeps us stuck in Act One? Like, why do we, like, wait a minute. If out of Act One is like where real life and adventure is, why do we stay stuck there? How do we discover our creative abilities? Why do we resist discovering them? How do we discover a quest? Now, I don't have all the answers for it. Some of these I'm figuring out myself literally right now. But I want to share with you what I've discovered. So that's it. So this week, I want you to ask yourself some of these questions. Am I stuck in Act One right now? Is my life going in a circle? The way you can know that is, do I know what my special abilities are? Am I going on a quest? Am I putting those abilities towards a mission or a quest that means something to me? And am I seeing my life through the eyes of the narrator? With that, I'm Jesse Livingston, and I'll see you next time.